pressure situation, I don't know if I have ever seen anybody be better than Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp. They had no choice.
The Rams were built to win the Super Bowl, and they have sealed the deal.
LA Rams and Matthew Stafford sealed the deal. Good day, everyone, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. The LA Rams and Matthew Stafford indeed sealed the deal yesterday at the Super Bowl on the largest football stage in the world. They beat the Cincinnati Bengals, sealing the second franchise Super Bowl win for the Rams, and the first, of course, for Matthew Stafford, who was for many, many years, from the time he left the University of Georgia, the quarterback for the Detroit Lions. Now, unfortunately, winning a Super Bowl was not something Stafford was able to accomplish during his 12 seasons here as a Lion. Now, in his very first season with another team, though, he is a Super Bowl champion, and he did it in a way that was so familiar to those of us here in Detroit who followed his career. With time ticking down in the fourth quarter, he found a way to drive down the field and get the ball into the end zone. It's classic Matthew Stafford, and so many Lions fans are feeling really happy for him that he finally got the chance to show the world what a great quarterback he is on the biggest stage in professional sports. But there have, of course, also been some haters and some naysayers here in Detroit, people who say he shouldn't have turned his back on our professional football franchise and on our people. That's where we want to start the conversation today. Are you happy for Matthew Stafford that now that he has found Super Bowl success in the first season away from the Detroit Lions? Were you rooting for him and the Rams in last night's Super Bowl? Or are you feeling a little jealous about that? Why should Rams fans get what we could never imagine here in Detroit while Matthew Stafford was our quarterback? And why should they get it in the very first season that he plays for their team? I hear a lot of people asking those kinds of questions. I also hear people asking a more important question, I think, which is, what is wrong with us? What does this say about our professional football franchise? Matthew Stafford could have looked in the camera at any point this season when the Rams were performing at such a high level and winning so many games and said, hey, Detroit, it wasn't me. Our franchise is still stuck in the doldrums, in the absolute basement of the league. Our old quarterback is off winning Super Bowls. So, what are we to make of that? And what are we to take away from what the future could look like here for the Detroit Lions? Joining me now to talk about yesterday's big win for Matthew Stafford and the bleak future for our own professional football franchise is John Neo, a sports columnist for the Detroit News. John, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me, Stephen. So bleak future, you've already written them off for next year? Well,
I'm saying, look at what they did this year. I don't see the opportunity for a whole lot more, but, you know, I guess you never know. And just like all other Detroit Lions fans, come September, I'll be the one saying this is the year. This is the time they're going to pull it together. I'm sure they'll get a great draft pick because they were so bad this year. And I'll say, well, this is what will pull it all together for them. And I don't know, by Halloween, I think I will have moved on to basketball again because I just don't see how this is going to get any better. But you know, you're the expert on sports. That's why we have you here.
Let me ask you the question though, because you talked about it. How conflicted were you as you watched not just the playoffs, but in particular the Super Bowl last night?
As a Lions fan,
were you openly rooting for Matthew Stafford and the Rams? Because I think a lot of people in Detroit were, and I guess I was a little surprised as the season went along, as just how many sort of sided with Matthew Stafford.
I absolutely was rooting for him. I mean, I was rooting for him more than the Rams. I mean, I don't have any real connection to that team. I also am a big fan of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. I think that combo is so interesting because they played together in college and they played so well during the season. I it would have been nice to see them come out on top too. I wouldn't have been disappointed if they had won.
But yeah, and that to me, I mean, that's the sort of the natural instinct for the Lions, the lovable losers of the NFL, should have been to root for the Bengals, who, you know, prior to this year, owned the longest playoff win drought in the NFL.
That's right. That's right.
Now, of course, that by 1 year over the Lions. Now that honor falls back to the Lions, 31 years and counting without a playoff win. And, you know, yeah, the underdog. I mean, I think America obviously loves to root for the underdog. And I think most people across the country were rooting for the Bengals last night because, again, they haven't won a Super Bowl. They haven't.
Right.
But, you know, in Detroit, like you said, I mean, Matthew Stafford, he always took the high road when he was here.
He
obviously didn't win the big games when he was a Lions quarterback. The Lions franchise futility certainly bears most of the blame for that, I think, with the fan base, and understandably so. But you mentioned it. He never trash talked Detroit on his way out of town. Obviously, he did a lot of great things here in the community as well. He still does. So I think people, he's an easy guy to root for.
Yeah.
And so Lions fans certainly for 12 years rooted for him week in and week out. And I think they were happy to see him have some success. But in the end, though, you're right. It's Detroit. You know, Matthew Stafford gets his ring and Detroit, the city, the fan base gets more, you know, more pity and ridicule because you just hear it throughout the playoffs in particular. Every broadcast is like, you know, it's just like, oh my gosh, he finally has a team around him. He finally has a chance. And that has to wear on him.
Yeah. I mean,
on a fan.
It's really hard. So a couple of things I felt yesterday that I didn't necessarily expect to feel. One was this overwhelming sort of emotional kind of joy and maybe elation even when I saw him come out of the locker room, leading his team onto the field. It was almost the way I think I might feel when and if the Lions ever get to that point. It just reminded me of how much I actually care about this team, this Lions team that has suffered so long and been so bad for so long. I just don't know what I'll do if the Lions go to the Super Bowl. And I think a lot of Detroiters probably felt that same thing when they saw Stafford. I mean, this was somebody that we all kind of know who all of a sudden is there, and none of us have ever been there.
And that's absolutely right. And in a lot of ways, he grew up in Detroit. I mean, obviously, he didn't grow up in Detroit. He didn't grow up in Michigan. He grew up in Texas. But he was the guy who this franchise embraced as the guy who was going to, you know, the number one pick after the 0-16 season, you know, the guy who was going to end the curse of Bobby Lane. And to his credit, especially even though he had certainly a ton of struggles, especially with injuries, his first couple of years couldn't really get on the field for a couple of years in many respects. He embraced it. He embraced the idea of, I mean, certainly we've seen other number one picks who forced their way out of bad situations even before they got there. John Elway, Eli Manning, things like that. But he embraced the challenge and the idea of being a Detroiter. I mean, he did a great job while he was here of representing the city, knowing everything that meant. And so, yeah, I think people appreciated that. And then, you know, like you said, when he comes running out on the field, he's still one of us for a lot of Lions fans, I think. And so that, you know, hey, if we can't do it, at least he can. And I think that was the general sentiment. I would say 3/4 of Lions fans is, you know, it's a rough guess on my part, but it felt like most Lions fans certainly were pulling for him to win it all. And, you know, some, I'm sure, out of spite to say, look, the Lions failed him, not the other way around. Because you said it too. There were you know, especially towards the end, there were people that were tired of Matthew Stafford not being able to win here and wanted him gone and wanted him traded. Those things happen when you lose. But now he gets the last laugh. And to his credit, like I said, he's not going to be the kind of guy who's going to say, see, I told you so.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking with John Neo, sports columnist for the Detroit News, about Matthew Stafford's Super Bowl ring, which he acquired yesterday by beating the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl. Of course, he did not do that as a Detroit Lion. He did that as a member of the LA Rams. We're talking about, I guess, how we feel about Matthew Stafford's success and what it tells us about our own professional football franchise, the long-suffering Detroit Lions. 1 year away from being the quarterback from the Detroit Lions, Matthew Stafford manages to get himself a Super Bowl ring. What does that say about the team that we tried to put around him for the 12 seasons he played here? We want to hear from you as well about what your feelings are today about Matthew Stafford and the LA Rams. What were your reactions to the Super Bowl? How do you feel about this victory for Matt Stafford? And what did you think of what this tells us about the Detroit Lions? What does it say the problem is here? And I don't think there's any other way to describe it as a problem, even if you don't care that much about football. The idea of that prolonged record of failure, I think, is notable and worth thinking about. What could we possibly have been doing wrong for going on something like 60 years? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page and put comments there, or go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll try to work you into the conversation. Let's read some of our social media comments, which are already starting to pour in. Greg on Twitter says, thank God Matthew Stafford, unlike Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson, didn't have to retire to escape the prison that is the Detroit Lions. This is a pretty harsh assessment of what we're doing here. Amanda says, it is the front office that is cursed. We get good, even great players, but can't make a team. Who steers that ultimately? The top folks in suits. Do better, suities. Tobias says, just goes to show you, Stafford is a Super Bowl caliber QB, and the Lions could not build a Super Bowl caliber team around him. So, John, I do want to talk just a little about the things that did happen while he was here. I always go back to the early 20-teens as the time when I felt like there was the most effort being made to put great players around Matthew Stafford. If you go look at that roster, it's not just Matthew Stafford who's on. Of course, Calvin Johnson is on that roster. DeAndre Levy is on that last roster. Ndamukong Suh is on that roster. There are lots of other players whose names we would remember pretty fondly, and some who've gone on to do really well other places. So it's not that we didn't put a, quote, winning team or a potentially winning team around him. There's something else that we're not getting right. And I have never been able to figure out quite what it is, but I wonder what you make of what we did to fail Matthew Stafford in the 12 seasons he was a Lion.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And to be honest, they haven't figured it out either, obviously. So you're not the only one who's scratching your head and wondering. And fans don't want to hear this, the excuses, because certainly they've had, you know, six decades plus of excuses for why they haven't won a Super Bowl or even been to one. But you go back to even when Matthew Stafford got drafted, the Lions had, you know, the misfortune on top of misfortune of being a terrible team. This league is built to, you know, for parity. Mm-hmm. You know, you lose games, you get the higher draft picks. The Lions stretch of futility that, you know, the Matt Millen era, which we don't need to get into, but they compiled all those top five picks. But at the time, there wasn't a rookie salary cap scale. So those guys came in. I mean, Matthew Stafford's first contract, I still remember the phone calls with the agents when this was getting done. And, you know, it was a record-setting contract. And you had Calvin Johnson with a record. You had three high profile. You mentioned Ndamukong Suh. Those guys ate up so much of the salary cap back when they were just building to a playoff contending team level that they had a hard time building a team then around Matthew Stafford. They did. But once they got to 2014, it became really hard to keep it together. Now, they failed in many ways. One was letting Sue leave in free agency to go to Miami. But they got to that brink of, okay, now we're a contender. How do we get over the hump? And they never got over the hump. And then, you know, there were mistakes, coaching changes, GMs get fired, all those kinds of things that stop a lot of teams when they get to that point. But the Lions, you know, hadn't been to that brink in 2 decades. They got there and then they could not get over the hump. And so then it's just been spinning their wheels a lot since then. And that's, you know, Matthew Stafford finally grew tired after two rebuilds, saying, you know what, I've had enough. I'm 33, 34 years old. I got a bad back. This is my last chance to get out of here and get and go somewhere. So they had a chance. They failed. I mean, 2014, they had one of the best defenses in the league. Probably could have, should have won a playoff game in Detroit, in Dallas. You know, the flag gets picked up, those kind of things that are, you know, more Lions luck, I guess. But they were at that point, and then they just, you know, they backslid like a team like the Lions does.
Yeah. Okay, when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with John Neo of the Detroit News about yesterday's Super Bowl win for Matthew Stafford. We're going to get to your calls next. Greg in Grosse Pointe, Jason in Plymouth, Craig in Crestview, Florida, and Jeremiah in Jackson. You're up first. If you want to join them, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. And again, you can always go to Facebook or Twitter and put comments there, and we can work you into the show that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today. Listening to Detroit Today on 101.9. WDET, I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. My guest is John Neo, sports columnist with the Detroit News, talking about Matthew Stafford finally reaching the pinnacle of professional sports, the Super Bowl, and actually delivering a win on that stage yesterday with the LA Rams. How do you feel about that? Are you jealous that he did it for the team in Los Angeles and never came close to doing the same thing here for the Detroit Lions? Also, what do you think this says about the Lions franchise and where we are, what we might need to do to get to that pinnacle of professional sports? 313-577-1019 is always the number here on the phones. You can also go to social media and put comments there, and we'll work you into the conversation. Let's start today with Greg in Grosse Pointe. Greg, what's on your mind?
Hey, Steven, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. You know, Steve, we grew up here, and so we have a lifetime of disappointment when it comes to the Lions.
Misery. Yes.
But one of the things that, two things that I really noticed about yesterday. One is that I was kind of like cheering for Stafford when it started, because I was like, yeah, man, you know, if we win, we can say, you know, at least he had to come through Detroit to learn how to win. You know,
is that what he learned here, Greg?
It's defeat after defeat. It's like, you know, hey, I've got the grit to make it. You needed a guy from Detroit to get you across the line. But then, you know, these plays, and we got to the second quarter, and he threw that interception, and I was like, oh, man, here we go. Once a Lion, always a Lion, you know?
Well, see, I think that's a really important part of the narrative from yesterday, which was Matthew Stafford was Matthew Stafford in that game, and both the extreme highs and the extreme lows. And I was like, well, this is who he has been as a quarterback his entire professional career. The difference was that everybody else on that team was able to help pick him up after he fell down. So, yeah, he threw a couple picks, but he also threw three touchdowns, and the defense played lights out in the fourth quarter. And John, that's part of the lesson here, isn't it? That that if you could have surrounded Matthew Stafford with enough other really quality players, he would have done better here.
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned it. I mean, he has a Hall of Fame defensive player who makes the play at the end of the game. And the Bengals very easily could have had enough time to go down and win that game and look like they might be at least going to tie that game in the final minute there. But Aaron Donald, a guy, not to pour more salt in the wound, the guy the Lions should have drafted.
Could have taken.
2014, right? And there were people in that draft room pounding the table for them to draft him instead of Eric Ebron, the tight end, in 2014. Yeah, he makes the play, probably the last play of his career. I think he may retire to go out on top. But, yeah, he makes the play to win the game. I mean, Matthew Stafford wasn't the MVP. Cooper Kupp was. I think if Cooper Kupp hadn't been the MVP in the voting, I think Aaron Donald probably would have because of the way he played in the fourth quarter. And so that's what wins the game in the end, not just Matthew Stafford. But, you know, and look, it's not just platitudes when he talks about it in the postgame. This was a team win. This is a team. Yes, that's what you're supposed to say as a quarterback, but it was absolutely true.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that last 2 minutes, I kept thinking, guys, okay, how are they going to – they're probably going to figure out a way to lose this. This is what Matthew Stafford is used to, you know. But I agree with you with the crook guy. I mean, yeah, he definitely – they pulled it off. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Greg, I really appreciate the call. Let's go to Jason in Plymouth. Jason, what's on your mind?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking this call. I tell you, I was watching that game, and it was a little bittersweet because I really wanted to pull for, you know, Matt Stafford, you know, Odell Beckham, you know, Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald, the whole gang. But the whole time I was thinking, oh, there's this Kelly Stafford thing in the back of my mind. I'm thinking, I'm just so tired of her,
Jason.
You know, messing things up for us. So with her comments and, you know, just she's not part of the game. And I was hoping that they wouldn't cover her so much, which they did at the end. I was happy for that so I could actually enjoy the good football.
Is that fair, Jason? I mean,
he's not. I can say honestly, Jason's not alone because I think, I mean, Matthew Stafford, you know, refuses to be on social media, refuses to do anything, you know, didn't even really do commercials beyond a Ford commercial here or there, whatever, a couple of goofy ones. But Kelly's more than made up for his social media presence during her time in Detroit. And I think fans, you know, for a lot of reasons, grew a little weary of that. I think LA fan, you know, LA's a much bigger market that can handle Kelly Stafford more than a market like Detroit.
Yeah. You know, I always think it's not terribly fair.
No,
to
absolutely.
Talk about athletes' wives or kids or family. But
she made herself the story more than once, and I think that's where it comes from.
She kind of volunteered for that.
But at the same time, you watch Matthew Stafford. Again, we watched him get married, have a family.
Yeah.
Kelly went through some pretty serious medical issues here when she was in Detroit, you know, toward the end of his time in Detroit. And to see them all celebrating him with his daughters, you know, playing in the confetti on the field. I know for a fact there's a lot of people who are Lions fans that, you know, probably got a little, you know, a little teary-eyed even watching that because it was. I mean, it was a culmination of a lot of things for him and his family there.
Yeah, no, it really was. Again, Jason, thanks for the call. Let's go to Jeremiah in Jackson. Jeremiah, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve, for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, here, I grew up in Detroit, graduated from high school Pershing. All right, so I'm a Detroiter.
Yes.
To the heart.
Yes.
Matthew Stafford was nothing more than a token. No more than a token of the Fords, a token of the Ford family. You ever notice when we talk about Detroit Lions, the Ford's name never really come up? Why is that? Now, here, if we were talking about Dallas, we would hear Jerry Jones' name. So if we were talking about the Patriots, we would hear Robert Kraft's name. If we were talking about Atlanta Falcons, we'd hear about the dude that owns Home Depot, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But as long as the Ford's, the Detroit Lions is nothing more than a museum relic on the Detroit, on the Ford family's mantle. Okay. If they wanted a winning team, they got the money. They got the money. But we never point the finger where it belongs. We'll talk about Matthew Stafford. We'll talk about all the woes of Detroit and how they're losing. But the Rams pushed all their chips to the center of the table. And when they acquired Matthew Stafford, guess what? Guess what they said about Detroit? Them chumps. They knew they got the better. They knew good and well that they got the better. They took a gem right out of Detroit, right underneath our noses.
Jeremiah, I know a lot of people who feel the way you do, frankly, and think that the Fords are the problem. I'll leave it at this. The only thing that hasn't changed since the last time this football team won a championship is the ownership. I mean, it's the one constant. We have tried everything else. They have moved stadiums even since then, which in some cases seems to be the igniter for some teams to really – you know, step up their play. Nothing has worked here. So John, is it fair to say that the problem is the Ford family?
Oh, absolutely. It's fair to say. And to be honest, we've been saying that for,
but 20, what is 30, the problem?
40 years.
But they're not cheap, right? I mean, they're not cheap.
They've spent plenty of money. They just haven't done it wisely at times. They haven't, you know, they were too patient, loyal to a fault for more than a generation under William Clay Ford Sr. And then I think, you know, we've had some family squabbles and everything else as the ownership has passed through the hands after his death here. And now Sheila Ford Hamp is running the team. She's going to get a shot to do what her father and her mother couldn't do as owner. But yeah, no, they have been, like you said, the mainstay, the constant throughout their 60 plus years without anything to show for it other than one playoff win. And so that absolutely the blame falls there. And he's right too. Look, and it's not just the Lions now that are sort of under the gun when it comes to what the Rams just did, which was, I mean, they were ridiculed around the league for mortgaging the future for just going all in. I mean, they have their last first round draft pick was in 2000. It was actually Jared Goff in 2016, mm-hmm. who's now the Lions quarterback, because they've just traded them away to build this team that just won a Super Bowl. And so now all these other teams have fan bases saying, look, they could do it. It's sort of like the way the NBA has gone with, you know, super teams and owners just going all in. Well, they did it in Los Angeles. Why can't we do it here? And I think there's going to be a lot of owners now feeling the pressure to do exactly what the Rams have done.
Yeah. Okay, before we go, Joe in Detroit, who's on the line, wants to talk about what should happen to Matthew Stafford. Joe, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. So Matthew Stafford has some pretty great numbers, and I'm wondering if this Super Bowl win puts him into the Hall of Fame conversation.
See, I think Matthew Stafford was already probably headed to the Hall of Fame. If you think about the other people he played with, Calvin Johnson just got into the Hall of Fame. He never won a playoff game and never went to the Super Bowl. So why wouldn't Stafford? But John, this is your area of expertise. Is Matthew a gold jacket guy, as they say?
Well, he's definitely in the conversation now, because when you win a Super Bowl, I mean, I think there's 20 some quarterbacks that have gone number one overall, and only six have won a Super Bowl. And mm-hmm. it's names like Peyton and Eli Manning, John Elway, Troy Aikman, so Terry Bradshaw. So he's definitely in the conversation. Part of it, he's going to have numbers that are, you know, in the top whatever mm-hmm. five all time because of his age coming in, the amount of passes that he threw in Detroit. He's going to have Hall of Fame numbers. And now he has that validation that very few guys get, which is a Super Bowl ring. And so absolutely, he'll be in that conversation. It'll be interesting to see how long he plays, but it'll also be interesting to see, I mean, they went all in on this team in Los Angeles. Can they remain a championship level team here for the next 2-3 years? Because if he wins another one, he's in for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. John Neo, always great to talk with you here on Detroit Today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Stephen.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about something you may have noticed during yesterday's Super Bowl. All the commercials promoting cryptocurrencies. I'm going to talk with a University of Michigan expert about what we should all know about crypto, its promises, and some of its risks. I have to say up front, I don't know everything I should about this really popular way of investing. If you're like me, stay tuned. You're going to learn a lot more about what crypto is and what it means to our economic and financial system worldwide. Stay with us for more Detroit Today.